We're used to hearing a lot about Cuba every presidential election year, you know, because of the important Cuban vote down in Florida. This year is no different, although something is a little different about Cuban migration to the U.S. Ever since the Cuban Revolution began in the 1950s, there's been a strong exile community in Miami, and Cubans have continued to migrate since then, often by sea, taking advantage of a U.S. policy that allows them to stay if they set foot on American soil. Recently, the number of Cubans coming to the U.S. has surged, and more of them are coming by land now, leaving the island for countries like Ecuador in South America and then making their way north. Erica Barris has a story of one young Cuban who made that trip recently.
When Heidi Vera arrived in Miami, she thought she was done traveling. She had been on the road for a long time, from Ecuador all the way on up.
I saw things you don't see in Cuba. Gangs, you may be killed, people may shoot guns. But I was ready for anything, because I knew I wasn't in my country anymore.
She crossed borders, walked many miles, took planes, buses, trains. Several times she was detained, once hospitalized. She slept on streets and in laundromats. Along the way, she met other Cubans making the journey. They stuck together. She was robbed, forced to pay bribes, and all the while fiercely guarded her Cuban citizenship paperwork, which helped promise her residency in the United States.
It was a difficult trip for us because other Latinos from Costa Rica and Nicaragua, Honduras, they'd say, if I'm also a Latino, why don't they give us the opportunity to come to this country? But you, yes. And we were afraid the other Latinos that they would assault us, that they'd steal our passports, our papers, because with those papers, you can come in.
Back in Pinal del Río on the western side of Cuba, Heidi's mother makes the equivalent of $8 a month at a pig butchery. Heidi had studied to do administrative work and wanted more from life. By the time she arrived in Miami, the 24-year-old was broke and forced to stay in shelters with some of the people she'd met on her trip. But she got lucky. A local activist posted on Facebook that newly arrived Cubans needed help. Gregoria Fernandez, a 50-year-old woman in Pittsburgh, saw the post and commented on it.
So I offered. I said, look, my house isn't big, but I live in Pittsburgh. If they're willing to come here, there's work. There's opportunity for everyone.
Gregoria and her partner live in a two-bedroom apartment. She shows me the black mold in the bathroom and the sagging ceilings. But it's home. And she remembered how hard it was when she herself came here from Cuba.
First of all, it's the language. You know that without language, it's like throwing yourself in a river and not knowing how to swim.
She left Cuba during the mid-90s. At that time, Cubans were going by raft to U.S. soil at Guantanamo and from there on to South Florida. That's where she settled. And then during the financial crisis, moved up to Pittsburgh looking for work. Her life was pretty quiet until the Cubans showed up. They show me around, laughing about how Gregoria crammed everyone in. They slept all over the house. It was pretty makeshift, but Heidi says she felt so at home.
When we got here, she had everything. It's like we say, you're at your family's house now. We didn't have to do anything. Here we got food, clothes.
Today, Heidi and Gregoria are both back from early morning shifts at their jobs. They move around the kitchen, sweeping, cooking, talking over each other. For Gregoria, it wasn't totally altruistic. She was alone all the time because she and her partner work opposite hours. He at a Chinese restaurant, she stocking shelves at Macy's.
So I was also looking for company. So I said, why don't I have these people come here? That way they can keep me company and I can keep them company. Because I was really lonely.
While the group of nine Cubans were there, it was fun for her, hearing stories of what life is like back home, helping them figure out the U.S. for the first time, cooking big meals, which she hadn't had a chance to do since her own kids were already grown.
It's not like I can help like 20 people. You help as many as you can. I took a bunch of them to immigration to do their paperwork to be allowed to work. I was an interpreter as much as I could be, but my English isn't like, wow, amazing.
But then slowly they started leaving. All these months later, the Christmas stockings are still hanging on the living room wall. the glitter from their names slowly crumbling onto the floor. Now it's just Heidi, who recently applied for her green card. She sends money home to Cuba she earns at an Italian restaurant. Gregoria says she'd host more but hasn't seen any posts looking for help. And because her landlord said he'd raise the rent if more people lived there, she can't host too many more people. Still, if they showed up, she says she'll help them out. In the meantime, though, Gregoria likes having Heidi around. Heidi calls Gregoria tía, aunt, and plans on staying there indefinitely. They keep each other company and connect each other to a homeland they both miss. For The World, Erica Barris, Pittsburgh.